Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is the initial episode, the first episode, the pilot, the earth-shattering beginning of Nerd Nuptial. Now, what happened was, a couple of weeks ago, on the show called The Nerd Party, which is now called The Senate Floor, we did an episode all about the Suicide Squad trailer, as well as the first X-Files episode of the revival, and I had a special guest. And some of you know her as the girl. Most people know her as the girl, and also known as my wife. And I have never received more positive input for the Nerd Party than with that episode. People were clamoring for more. People were screaming, give us more girl. Give us more interaction between the two of you. So much positivity. It was mind-blowing. And so that is exactly what this show is. This show is me and the girl, aka my wife, and we're calling it Nerd Nuptial because we are a married couple who love each other very, very much and who also are nerds together. So here you go, the girl. This is your own show. How does it feel?
That's really weird, and I don't really believe you when you say that people wanted the show, but I love you so. So let's give it a go.
So you're doing this with me, yeah. No, I'm telling you, people were emailing me, tweeting me. There's people at work who listened to my show, came up and told me, oh my gosh, like, you need to do more. That, like, the girl is so adorable. And, you know, good friend Matt Rushing, a friend of the network, he's on the 602 Club and Aggressive Negotiations. He immediately, when he heard the episode, he said, I found a DC soulmate. She needs to be on the 602 Club. She needs to guest. So
you
got guest invites from doing one episode.
And I'm kind of off the grid. I don't really have any, like, social media going on.
No, you were very off the grid.
I'm off the grid. So
I think the only thing you have is an Instagram.
Yeah. Which is private.
Which is private, yeah. You have a private Instagram.
I don't really even know how to use, because you always make fun of me for hashtagging things with my private account. Because
you can't there's no point in hashtagging something if it's private.
It makes me feel like I'm part of the world.
Like, hashtag caffeine.
No, I don't do that.
No, you don't do that. No, okay. I apologize. Well, today we're going to talk about the latest Walking Dead episode. It's called No Way Out. But before we get into that, I feel like we need to give the audience a little bit more info about us. Everyone needs to go to thenerdparty.com and find the episode called Coup d'etat Reopened Again. And there you'll be able to see our first podcasting episode together. But I think people need to know a little bit more about us. So we met at school.
Mm-hmm.
We met in college. And more specifically, we met in acting class.
Yes, we did. We were husband and wife in a scene together.
That's right. We were husband and wife in a scene together, a Neil Simon play, right?
California Suite, Visitors from Chicago, I think was the name of the play that we were performing. And it was a lot of fun, and we started talking, and then we started IMing each other.
IMing, that's right. AOL Instant Message, that's how old we are.
That's right. So when that was a thing.
Yeah, and so then it was a great deal of foreshadowing that we would, our first interaction together was playing a married couple.
Yeah.
And then we got married, oh.
We were also the nerdy married couple, if you remember.
That's right. In the show, we were the nerdy couple because we were the skinny, nerdy people.
Yeah. Demanding, I think, too, a little bit.
Yeah, demanding. Yeah. Which, so this was a great reflection of real life, yeah. I remember, now, regardless of when we first met, I think the moment that I realized that you were going to be my wife was not when I asked you to marry me, not when I bought the ring. It was when I saw a picture of you on Halloween dressed as Princess Leia.
Yeah, it's true. I went through a huge Star Wars phase in fifth grade. I was very much so a secret Star Wars fan because it was not exactly popular for a, what was it, like 12-year-old girl to like Star Wars. But when they all came back into the theaters for the revival of
special editions
in the theater, that was actually the first time I got to see Star Wars, was in the theater. And we waited to see them when they were released each year. And I had, like, in my room a Star Wars wall, Star Wars corner, like, anything Star Wars in magazines I would, like, cut out and, like, creepily stalk Harrison Ford as an old man. And
now you bring up Harrison Ford. You're leaving something out about Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah, I had a cutout. I had a life-size cutout of Harrison Ford as Han Solo in my room, and I loved it.
Listeners, I was begging for her to try to find it in her basement, and she's conveniently can't find it.
I can't. If I found it, it would be here, because that's hilarious.
So how is that fair that you can have Solo cutout, but I can't have my 7 of 9 cutout?
No. It wasn't just 7 of 9. It was like several ladies. I think they were all from...
It was three. It was the women of Voyager, sans Janeway. I can never find a cutout of Janeway. It was Kes, B'Elanna, and 7 of 9.
Yeah, and when I would stay at your house, I would sleep in your childhood room, and they would be looking at me all night long, and it was so creepy. I was like, oh, this is my competition.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, and the girls from Charmed was on.
That was a prized possession.
Yeah, those were on the wall too. So those girls were looking at me. The girls from Buffy were looking
at me. Well, it wasn't just the girls of Buffy. It was the cast of Buffy.
Well, yeah, all these. Yes, I just.
So yeah, that
that's
was
how nerdy you are.
That was my nerdasium, as I called it. My nerdasium. Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I had a...
And model, like, starships and stuff.
Oh, yeah, model starships. Yeah. Those are still up there.
Yeah, I believe it.
Well, I really...
Your mom wouldn't get rid of that.
I really need to clean that stuff out. There was actually a time... I had them above my closet, and there was one time in the middle of the night, and this kind of thing always happens in the middle of the night, the original Enterprise, the Kirk and Spock era Enterprise, it fell off of the shelf and hit me in the face. It was, like, 3 a.m., and it hit me in the face, and I just immediately... You know, stand up, start screaming, holding my eye. My parents run in and they're like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Oh, I think my starship broke. Is it fine? Is it okay? Is it okay?" And they're looking at me, they're like, "Is your eye okay?" And I was like, "Find my starship first."
Of course.
That was me.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
And that was my room. I have a lot of memories in that room. Now, as we're sitting in our office, we're podcasting face to face. So we're in the same room. So many of my podcasts, we podcast face to face. Describe the room. What's going on around here? What do you see?
There's a lot of Star Trek. This is like where the stuff goes that I won't let in the rest of the house. There's my stuffed Bantha on our bookcase that your cousin made me, which is awesome. He made me from like handmade me a Bantha.
That's
right. From Star Wars.
A handmade Bantha.
Yeah, that was a really good Christmas gift. There's a big picture of Helena Bonham Carter in the corner looking at us.
That's right. Yeah, it is an original art piece.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Helena Bonham Carter as Marla from Fight Club. Now I think you need to tell the listeners the two framed photos in our bedroom.
Oh yeah, they're from Sweeney Todd. That's and they're right by my bed. Like Angela Lansbury signed picture and from the stage play Sweeney Todd. And Helena Bonham Carter and a Johnny Depp signed picture also. And everyone who comes in our room is like, is that Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter? Like,
that's right.
Yeah, it is. And it's our bedroom. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I tell people that. I tell them that I have an autographed framed photo of Angela Lansbury hanging in my bedroom. And they don't believe me until I send them photographic evidence.
They should too. She's a legend.
She is a legend. And so basically we're telling all these stories, all these stories from our childhood and from our current life to basically establish our nerd cred. When we started the nerd party, that was our first episode, was establishing our nerd cred. So I just wanted to make sure that both of us were seen as
the
nerds that we are.
Yeah. Oh, and your mom crocheted me 2 little dolls of Breaking Bad characters, Walter and Jesse, and they're on our bookshelf too.
That's right. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. And they're jumpsuits.
They're
cooking meth.
They're in their yellow jumpsuits.
Yeah,
crocheted dolls. Yeah,
yeah.
I still can't believe I got my mom to do that for you.
Yeah, it was a wonderful surprise. Yeah, we have a lot of my Harley Quinn. Anytime we go to a comic book store, we almost always pick up something Harley Quinn. And so I've got like a little Harley Quinn bookshelf.
Yeah, we have a shrine to dedicated to Harley Quinn. It's statues, lots of Pop Funkos, shot glasses, which...
We don't drink.
Which we don't drink. So we're established nerds. Let's go ahead and talk about The Walking Dead. Now, this aired on Sunday. We're recording this a day after because we don't have live TV. We're millennials and we cut the cord and we've never looked back.
Right.
Now, let's talk about Walking Dead in general. Now, when I first started watching Walking Dead, now Matt and I never talk about Walking Dead, so I'm really glad that we're having this show so we can finally talk about it because we watch it together. There's three great shows that have defined our entertainment landscape, and that's Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and The Walking Dead, all AMC shows. AMC just gets us.
Yeah.
And I introduce all of these shows to you, and I watched the first and second season, I think, of each show, and I was like, I don't know if you're going to like them.
Every single one.
Every single one. I was just like, I don't know. Some might be too slow for you, or I don't
or
know.
Or too violent,
and
or too gross.
What happened after you just watched like three episodes?
Yeah, they're all my favorite shows. Yeah, I would probably go Breaking Bad. Probably Mad Men and Walking Dead are tied for me.
So Breaking Bad's number one.
Oh, yeah. Hands down, Breaking Bad. Okay. Yeah, I've watched that so many times. And without you, because you were just like, I can't do it anymore.
I can't do this anymore. I cannot watch this an eighth time in 2 years.
So I'll like watch it when you're podcasting or whatnot. So.
Now you don't have that excuse. That's now you
true.
Don't have that time.
That's true. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what made me hesitate. But
I don't know.
But I was clearly wrong. And so once I introduced it to you, we just ran with it. And I think we caught up to like the mid-season finale of season 3.
Yeah.
I think that's when we caught up to it live and started watching it week to week, which I can't stand watching stuff week to week.
I know. I love binge watching. Yeah.
As soon as that term was coined online, I was just like, oh, yeah, that describes me.
Oh, yeah. We do that all the time. That's like the perfect Saturday is us just binge watching whatever TV show. Yeah. When we don't have one, we are very depressed.
Yeah.
What do they call it?
What did they call it? A show hole? I think they tried to introduce on Xfinity or something like that.
Yeah.
Which just sounds weird.
Yeah, that does sound strange.
I don't really like it. But yeah. So yeah, we're big Walking Dead fans. I've actually read the comics, and there were times when I enjoyed the comics more than the TV show, but I started reading the comics so fast that I got to Alexandria, where they are now in the show, and I was like, okay, I need to stop so that, you know, like, one doesn't ruin the other, because there's so little in the show compared to the comics that it's okay to see the TV show and then read the comics because you get so much more material. But if you read the comics to begin with, a lot of the show is going to be ruined.
I remember the moment that you decided to stop reading the comics was when you found out that guy's leg was going to be...
Eaten,
and you were like, I know what's going to happen. And you were just like kicking yourself. You're like, ah, this is not fun anymore.
Yeah, it totally took away the suspense.
Yeah, because you knew exactly what was going to happen.
For those of you who haven't seen it yet, watch the episode, then listen to this episode, because we're going to give spoilers. Big spoiler alert. We cannot tell you enough. Spoiler alert. So this one was called No Way Out, because this is after the zealots with W's on their heads crashed the wall and lit all of the walkers in and basically just run through the streets of Alexandria, and the survivors were able to beat the zealots and kill them dead
because of Carol.
Because Carol's amazing.
She's awesome
and she's a badass. Yeah. And so we got to see all of that. And then so that was at the very end of the mid-season finale. They, some of the survivors, like Rick, Michonne, Carl, and the three family members who I can never remember their names.
Her name is Jessie.
Jessie and her family. There you go. Yeah, Jessie and her family. They do a callback to season one and actually cover themselves in zombie guts.
That was early. I think that was that the pilot? No, that wasn't the pilot, but
no,
it was early.
Pilot. It was season one, and season one was only six
early
episodes.
Early season one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a show that easily could have done that multiple times to get out of trouble.
That's true.
But I'm glad that they didn't. What did you think about that?
Using that again?
Yeah.
I was glad that it didn't rain again, you know, because if that had happened, I would have been like, really? We've already done this. But I think Walking Dead does a pretty good job of not recycling ideas. I feel like they don't always repeat themselves too often. Now, sometimes I feel like the rules of zombies change a little bit. You know, like in season one, it was, you know, no sound, no light, and they kind of did away with that
yeah.
a little bit. I mean, there's still those principles, but they're not as extreme.
And in season one, the zombies could run and jump fences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, much more like World War Z.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Which we both hate.
But we love the book.
Oh yeah, I love that book. That's an amazing book.
Yeah, anybody who likes zombies and can hear the sound of my voice, read World War Z. It is nothing like the movie. It's
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing it, like.
Nothing like the movie.
At all.
And if you can, if you like audiobooks, that's probably one of the best audiobooks I've ever listened to was World War Z.
We're all nerdy and we have our own book club and we...
That's true. Don't knock our two-person book club.
No, I know. I love our two-person book club and we read nerdy books and then compare notes at the end of the day.
That's right.
Through our commute, we listen to our audiobook versions of the books.
Yeah, that's... And I have a very long commute and so audiobooks are kind of my lifeblood.
Yeah, I usually have to catch up during lunch to... actually keep up with you.
But that and The Martian, I think, was like some of the best audiobooks that we've ever listened to was World War Z and The Martian.
And anyway, Gone Girl.
And that's for another podcast. But let's get back to it. So The Walking Dead, so we saw them, they're covered in guts, and then boom, end of the episode, and we get back right in the middle of it. And so they're continuing to walk. It's Michonne, Carl, Rick, Jesse and her family walking.
And her son, her oldest son tried to shoot Carl.
Well, he motioned like he was going to.
Yeah, we didn't know for sure, but...
Yeah.
And in the previous episode.
Yeah, we weren't sure exactly what was going to happen.
Over a girl.
Oh my God.
She's so stupid.
Over a girl. Over a stupid girl that nobody likes. And then Father Gabriel takes Judith to the church so that the survivors can go to the cars. And I'm not going to go a scene-by-scene analysis here, but I'm just trying to get to this amazing part that I did not see coming, where, I can't remember the kid's name, but it's the youngest child of Jesse. Always a scaredy cat, and I would be too, you know, in this world.
Oh, yeah, and he's creepy, though.
He's creepy.
There's something off about him.
Yeah, he had this look on his face like... I eat mung beans and
mung beans.
And I do it not because it's good for me, because I like it. You know, like, it just, that's the face that it screamed to me.
See, I felt like he was like a kid that, I don't know, like something's off. Like he's going to hurt someone or
like
something.
He's going to kill a squirrel and rub his face in blood.
Yeah, I don't know. And I was always really nervous when he and Judith were in the same house together. I was just like, he's a creepy kid. I don't like him. And yeah. But I'm just thinking that the fans must have expressed that they did not like Jesse and Rick together, because what ends up happening?
Yeah, the Jesse family is gone.
Like, fast.
Yeah.
Really fast.
What happened was the youngest child...
Has
a freak out, gets fixated on a young zombie.
Because of what Carol tells him.
Yeah, because like he hears Carol's voice in his head about how he's just going to get eaten alive.
Yeah, which is true.
Which is true, because that's what happened. And then he's so fixated that he stops moving and he starts to cry. And the zombies just, boom, like three of them at once just start devouring him.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
I knew that they were going to do something, but I didn't think it was going to be that quick.
Right. I knew that he was going to either die or cause others to die because... he was stupid. I was just not expecting, like, zombies to attack his head. Like, that was intense.
It was his head!
Yeah,
that's
his
right,
head.
They bit his, like, forehead.
He was a kid, and his head. Yeah, you don't always see that.
And then the mom, of course, she can't stay quiet, because no person
could. Right, she's still holding on to his
hand. She's holding on to his hand,
yeah,
and she's getting devoured right in front of her, and so she's screaming. And then because she's screaming, all the zombies come, and they kill her. And then Rick starts having these, oh my God, flashbacks like, oh no, my love is dead.
Ugh,
what the hell is
I
that about?
I did not care about that relationship at all. They tried to force it so much.
They tried so hard, so fast.
Yeah, but I just did not like her.
No.
As an interest in Rick. Like,
as a love
she was
interest.
Fine. She was fine as a character, I guess. But even then, I was just kind of like, eh.
I just don't think she was unique enough or interesting enough.
Yeah. Although I didn't really like Lori all that much either. So
not a lot of people did like Lori.
But she was more interesting than this girl.
True. Yeah, she was more dynamic than this girl. Yeah, absolutely. And then so she dies, and then, you know, like Rick's like, oh my God. And she was holding on to Carl, and apparently like rigor mortis set in real fast.
That was really strange. I don't quite understand that one.
And so Rick had to chop off Jesse's hand in order to free Carl. And then like when that happened, you literally, you said, like, you started slow clapping.
Yeah.
when Jesse died and the youngest son died.
I did.
You literally started slow clapping.
That's when you know that you have me. Well, and you did what I want in the show.
That's the pat on the head to the writers whenever you get a slow clap when somebody you don't like dies.
Exactly.
And then both, like I said when it happened, I was just like, oh, well, now we're going to have to deal with the teenager.
Yeah, you said that out loud. You were like, oh no, that means this kid's going to stick around.
Yeah. But no.
No.
He picked up his gun and pointed it at Rick, and we're like, this is going to be it. Like, he's going to like pop off around, and obviously he's not going to kill Rick.
Right, but hurt him or something.
Yeah, but what happened next?
Michonne comes out of nowhere and stabs her right through the chest from the back, and that was awesome.
She didn't even think about it.
No, she didn't care that he was a kid, didn't care about anything. She was just on it.
And that's why Michonne is the best.
Oh my gosh, I love Carol and Michonne. Like, they're the best ever.
They're two of the most badass characters on the show.
And I mean I love Daryl too, but I feel like he gets way more praise than the two of them, I feel like, sometimes. And I'm like, no, they're awesome.
Yeah, Daryl's a great character, but Michonne and Carol need to get more love.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, he gets his katana to the back, but he gets a round off.
I did not expect that. Like, the whole sequence, I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And we see Carl turn, it's horrific, and his eye is missing.
Yeah, he gets shot in the eye.
And you said, you were like, they just killed Carl.
Yeah, I said that out loud. I thought that's what happened.
They just killed him.
They just killed Carl. Yeah. I was like,
we're like, they can't kill Carl.
No.
There's no way. I was shocked to see that.
I was too, because it was so gruesome, so gory. I was like, how does anybody survive that? And also, I was thinking, I was like, but I don't get it. I mean, like, the show, I mean, the comic was always about Rick and Carl. You know, like, no matter what, you knew that Rick and Carl were going to survive because it's about them. It's about them and their relationship.
Journey.
So I was like, wow, is the show, like, altering this, like, a great deal? You know, like, does the kid want out of it? You know, like, what's going on? But then Rick picked him up. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, okay.
He's okay.
Like, they picked him up because, like, if he was really dead, they probably would have just left him there.
Or had, like, a moment on the ground
you're right,
saying goodbye, you know? And also, you always know in a show when someone's going to die because they spend a lot of time with that character before they die.
A main character.
Yeah, a main character. Although they didn't do that with Jesse and her family. But they were kind of like, we're done with.
They're not main. Those are side characters at best.
But I mean, once, you're right, once he started, he grabbed him and, like, took him towards the infirmary, we knew that he was going to be okay.
We had Morgan and Carol kind of go at it with each other, mm-hmm. where Morgan did not want the guy with the W on his, like, the main guy with the W on his forehead to die. Carol wanted to kill him.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And Morgan didn't want him dead, and Morgan got his way, but the guy got released and kidnapped the doctor.
Right. Doctor looks too similar to the lady in charge of the armory and food.
Yeah, they
that
both
actress.
Wear the same glasses.
Yeah.
They're both a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it really bothers me. I mean, I know the difference, but I don't know. I'm just like, really? Really, casting director?
Yeah, they both have a ponytail.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things I'm like, these characters are new. They're both introduced at the same time.
Yeah. It was a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, I've never enjoyed that character. I've never enjoyed her storylines.
No.
But I am glad to see her with confidence.
Yeah.
Like because what happened was is that she was able to escape the guy who kidnapped her, of course, with help from Carol.
Right. Because she wouldn't have been able to do it by herself.
She's the one who actually helps bring Carl back to life. So, like, she sutures up his eye, and obviously that eye's gone.
Yeah, I mean, really gone.
And then, like, but when Rick and Michonne bring Carl into the infirmary,
oh my gosh,
Rick gets into that mode.
You just know it. You're just like,
you know what's going to happen because we've seen him do it before. Yeah. When Lori died.
Right. And where he just goes to town on the zombies and it's awesome. And I think that's when we were like, yeah.
Yeah, we both were just like, that's right, another slow clap.
That's right, yeah.
Because what happened was we had a low angle and you just see the door open and all of these zombies are outside. And then you see Rick walk out and shut the door
and
behind him.
And you see his axe in his hand.
That's right, yeah.
Like, close up the axe. There's two sides of Rick you see. You see, like, the crazy side of Rick where, you know, like, when he, like, bit the jugular out of that guy protecting Carl, you know, this side. And then you have, like, the depressed Rick that kind of just, you know, farms and
takes care of pigs.
Takes care of pigs and stuff. I really don't enjoy depressed Rick. I really enjoy action Rick. And lately, I mean, I know that was, like, you know, obviously character arc of him going through that slump after Lori and everything like that. But yeah, I really enjoyed that's his reaction to this tragedy or this possible tragedy.
Yeah.
It's just to, like, you know, no holds bar going to go at it.
Yeah, he will take down the entire legion of zombies.
Yeah.
If he has to.
Yeah.
And I believe him that he could.
Right. Oh my gosh. And I did think it was really cool to see all of the Alexandria people gather together and take down the zombies too, and how they all kind of, like, saw what was going on and they were like, okay, here's the moment. I kind of liked how each group that we went to had that moment of, like, this is the time.
Yeah.
This is the time that we have to stand up and we have to fight. And I really enjoyed that moment because that was what we were kind of leading to.
Yes.
All the previous episodes was...
Of this season.
Mm-hmm. Was saying, okay, you guys have to step up when the time comes. And now that it did, they were able to do that.
Yeah, the entire Alexandra storyline. I mean, and Rick even said this out loud, where it's like, I don't think these people are going to survive.
Yeah.
Like, they're too stupid, they're too soft, and they're just not going to survive. And this was the moment that they proved to Rick that Alexandria can survive and thrive because these people are no longer, you know, soft and fat and
yeah,
complacent.
Right.
And Rick even says that to Carl when Carl's unconscious. He says, he's like, yeah, he's like, this is going to happen. This is going to work.
I liked how that was a turning point for him.
Right.
Saying, you know, like, this is the moment that haven't felt since before I was in the coma, of wanting you to see the world. And, you know, this world can be something better. I feel like he didn't have that before. And that was kind of a cool moment that he actually said that.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, we're seeing a turning point in Rick.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, he's no longer a reluctant leader of Alexandria. I think he's determined one because he can see it as a possibility.
Absolutely.
A real possibility. And, okay, so it wasn't just Rick and the few, like, chopping axes, but they got some help from Daryl and his crew, where they brought in a tanker truck. Daryl did something incredibly smart.
Yeah,
where
that was pretty cool.
He poured tons and tons of gasoline into the lake that's in the middle of the town and then shot an RPG into the lake and set it on fire. And so that drew all the zombies to the lake.
Yes.
And then so they could chase after those zombies and get them from the back while others were caught on fire.
That was so smart.
And it was so smart. And Glenn's alive. Glenn's back. He's reunited with Maggie.
I knew he couldn't be dead.
Oh, no. There's
no way.
No,
he's too lovable.
No way they're going to kill Glenn.
No.
And right before we started doing this podcast, I went online and I saw a few reviews. And the first one at the top was, here's everything that The Walking Dead got wrong. And he says, it's everything. So there's like this one guy wrote like 12 pages on how much he hated the episode.
This episode?
This episode.
What?
Yeah.
We're pretty critical.
Yes.
Like when we're in our families, they always are like, well, I really like this movie, but you guys won't because you guys are super snobby.
They pretty much call us that. They call us snobs. It's not even behind our backs.
No, and
it's
both sides where they're just like, we really liked it, but I don't know. You guys are really snobby when it comes to movies or TV. But no, this is an awesome episode.
This was an amazing. This is the type of episode that makes us watch The Walking Dead. This is why we do it.
Because there's always, every Walking Dead season has these awesome episodes. And then a lot of talking, a lot of just surviving, like not a lot happening in the middle episodes, and then there's something epic that happens and you're like, oh, I'm so glad I stuck through the boring stuff. And this was definitely one of those. I mean, I'm glad that they started with a bang back up.
Now, part of me wishes that they would kind of like
space themselves
out a little bit more, you know, like spread the budget around a little bit.
Right?
I love these amazing, earth-shattering moments, because that you're like, it's the season opener,
yeah,
the mid-season finale,
yeah,
mid-season opener, and the season finale that are always the biggest and the best. But let's spread it out just a little for the ones in between.
And I do feel like a flaw of The Walking Dead is I really feel like the characters get too existential for me sometimes. Like, for example, when Enid was in the church and, you know, and she's looking up the sign above the door.
The scripture, yeah.
Yeah, the scripture above the door. And, you know, she and Glenn are having this conversation about why they're surviving and, you know, who do they look up to, who raised them and who made them basically the person that they are. And I'm just like, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on outside.
Yeah.
We really need to have this conversation right now.
That is the exact same thing that I was thinking. I was like, people are dying.
Right? Yeah. I mean, we don't need to have this conversation right now. And I also don't like the teenage angst that is going on with, like, I mean, I'm glad that they got rid of the one teenager, but the fact that she's still around, I think she's probably going to be around for a little bit.
Probably.
Because they've spent too much time on her. And now Beth's dead, so we have to have a, you know, young person.
So who's that for? Who's the teenage angst for?
I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of my students do watch. I teach high school, and I guess some of the students I teach do watch Walking Dead.
Yeah, I guess so. But do they enjoy teenage angst? Like,
I don't know.
Do they relate to it? They're like, oh yeah, this is totally how I would write poetry in the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, I hope not. That would make me sad. I just don't like those moments. And I feel like there's a lot of those moments throughout those lulls that we go through in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. Not that I want action all the time.
Right.
But like you said, it would be nice to kind of pace ourselves.
I'm fine with some existentialism every once in a while, and even like in the middle of the show, like I'm fine with it. But when we have these big screw you episodes where there's literally hordes of zombies banging down your door, people are being dragged into the street, that's not the time to get existential.
It's not. It seems out of place.
Yeah.
It's like this episode knows what it is. It's the big grand start of the next part of the season and the big explosions. Like, there was the lake on fire. It just seems kind of out of place. We forgot to talk about the bikers.
Oh, yeah, the bikers at the very opening.
Now, yeah.
We actually got this scene released a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. So this group of bikers is at the beginning, and they have their guns trained on Daryl, Abraham, and Sasha in the tanker that they stole, and they had to stop, obviously. And they're threatening them, saying everything they own now belongs to them, and they're going to take their sidearms, and they're just really just a jerk about it. And then, like, he's like, okay, there's always more, like, give us all of your stuff. And so they sent one guy to the back of the tanker truck with Daryl, which was a big mistake.
I was going to say.
And there was a moment when we thought Sasha and Abraham were going to die. Like, mm-hmm. I actually thought they were going to die.
I thought, well, this might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right when we thought that was going to happen, all of a sudden, all the bikers just exploded, you know, just like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it was just boom. And then, like, fire and then guts and everything like that. And then we see Daryl, he has a smoking RPG. I thought that was an amazing moment. But at the same time, they could have had an effect where the RPG actually hit them. You know,
instead of just seeing them explode.
Instead of them just explode. Because it was more like spontaneous human combustion than an RPG.
It was like, what just happened to them?
Like, at first I thought their engine exploded.
Oh.
I was like, did his motorcycle engine explode? Like, what did it?
Yeah.
Did something in his gas tank?
It's very strange.
Yeah, I thought it was strange. So, like, we should have had, like, a...
It was a good scene, though.
Yeah, it was a great scene. And then they mention Negan, which we're assuming is, like, their gang leader. And I have not gotten to that part of the comics yet, but I do know that he plays a huge role in the comics, and we're going to see him this season. And the actor who's going to play Negan is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He played the comedian in Watchmen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a great bad guy in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty
That'll
excited.
Be interesting. I kind of wish that they would go back to the whole W guys with, like, remember how we saw that one girl on a tree with a W? And there was, like, it felt like there was more to that story. That always kind of bothered me.
Well, okay, we're getting kind of long on the episode, so how about we wrap things up with things that we hope we're going to see for the rest of the season.
Okay.
Would you say you want to see more explanation of the W guys?
I wonder if there's a connection with Negan and the W guys, but I guess the bikers didn't have the W's on them, so that's probably flawed. I'm interested to see how they're going to either rebuild Alexandria, although I don't know, I kind of wish that they wouldn't stay there because it feels a little too comfortable for me. I kind of like them moving about. So I wonder how maybe they will find a way to make that different, especially if this Negan person, you know, invades Alexandria or something like that. But I don't really like them staying in one place too long.
Yeah, it's interesting because in season one, it was only 6 episodes and they were on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2 was the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3 and 4, or at least
was the prison?
It was a season and a half, I guess. It was the prison. Yeah, season 3 and the first half of season 4 was the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last half of season 4 was on the run. And season 5 was Terminus? Like them trying to get to Terminus? Or
oh, I think you're right.
It's kind of muddled, but was that really the whole season?
There was a lot of Terminus, and then when we got there,
yeah.
It was only like an episode.
You're right. Yeah, there was a lot of them going to Terminus. A lot of anticipation. Yeah, that's right. For me, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're probably going to be there at least until the end of the season. I feel like we might be there another year.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. I don't like that. I don't know. I just, there's something just not exciting about
staying in one place.
Yeah. And specifically Alexandria. Like, I liked the farm.
Yeah.
But I don't really like Alexandria as much. I think maybe it's because they have too many things at their fingertips. Mm-hmm. Whereas I kind of liked more of the survival aspect of it.
That's why I thought the prison was a good mix. Because
yeah, I liked the prison.
It was shelter, but not everything was provided for them. They had to
make
everything.
And it was different. It wasn't like they're going back to their house and making casseroles. I don't know. It was more rugged and more, you know.
I get it. I get it completely. Okay. Well, thank you folks for listening to the first episode of Nerd Nuptial. This was very exciting for me. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot more episodes to come. We don't exactly know what our schedule is going to be. We might be weekly. We might be biweekly. It's pretty much whenever we have the time because we both lead very busy lives. So we will try to give you as many episodes as we can, so keep checking back. Make sure to go to thenerdparty.com. And as also, please like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. There you can find all of our episodes, as well as get in on the conversation. Leave a comment about the show. Tell us if you liked it. And please go to iTunes. Find us. Give us a rating if you can. When this is released, this will be released on iTunes soon. So please take a moment, give us a rating, and if you give us a 5-star rating, we'll mention you on the show. And as a reminder, the Nerd Party is now a network because we have 2 shows. We have the Senate Floor and Nerd Nuptial. The show that used to be called Nerd Party is called the Senate Floor. If you're subscribed to the Nerd Party, you will be subscribed to the Senate Floor. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change about the format except the name. So again, thank you so much for downloading, subscribing, and I love you.
I know.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.